Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
There were two killers.
Luke, that's your daddy.
The robot did it.
Snape was a good guy.
He really wasn't cheating.
They was in purgatory the whole time.
What? Everybody dies.
Verbal Kent is Kaiser Sose.
They killed old Yella.
Oh my god. Everybody in this Tyler Perry movie got AIDS.
Spoiled movie reviews.
Hey, welcome to another Spoiled Movie Review on the Blackout Tips Premium Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rod, and I'm doing a solo movie review tonight because I was the only one that watched this movie. I mean, technically Karen watched the first 5 minutes and then quit. So if you guys wanted to hear Karen's lovely opinion on this movie, I'm sorry she let you down. Today's movie, as you can tell from the title of this review, is Spell. It is a movie that we gave away when we were doing our Thanksgiving giveaways for movies and stuff. We gave away the codes. And we also, you know, said we were going to watch it or whatever, but, you know, only one of us is telling the truth. At any rate, spoiler movie reviews for people who've seen the movie, don't ever plan on seeing the movie or don't care about spoilers, because we definitely spoiled the movie, and today's movie is no exception. The movie is Spell. It is directed by Mark Tondorai, okay, written by Kurt Wimmer, but it stars Amari Hardwick and Loretta Devine, who's pretty much the only people y'all might recognize in this, maybe John Beasley. So I'll talk about what I liked about the movie, what I didn't like about the movie, and then score it. The plot is: a man crash lands in rural Appalachia and awakens in the attic of a traditional hoodoo practitioner. He desperately tries to break free from her. Excuse me. He desperately tries to break free from her dark magic and save his family from a sinister ritual before the rise of the blood moon. So, things that I liked about this movie. Let's see. First of all, I thought Loretta Devine's performance was pretty much the best thing in the movie. You know, she's a consummate professional actress. She always, you know, kind of a scene stealer in this movie. She plays an old black woman who is, reminds me of the movie Misery, and what is her name, Kathy Bates as Annie, how it kind of that vibe, not exactly the same, you know, but this idea of like she's a older black woman, country bumpkin, kind of acting like, you know, I'm just taking care of you, baby, and then, you know, as the film escalates, you find out she's essentially the main villain of the movie. And I thought that she was really good because, you know, she really just does her whole thing. I have a clip real quick.
Mercy, you gonna learn if you live long as me. Money can't get you everything, especially a telephone when you ain't got one.
You telling me you ain't got no telephone?
Mm-mm. Suppose we bringing people together. Well, it ain't nothing but just the tools of the great divider. No. Now, I've got a little something here that'll help you get better. This is my latest and greatest boogie pin.
What is that?
A boogie pin. You ain't never heard of a boogie pin? It's one thing standing for another. Now this, it stands for you. And the more it resembles you with blood, nail clippings, hair, a pinch of semen, then the more it is you, the more good things happen to it. The more good things happen to you.
So yeah, she just goes for it in every scene. She comes it up, and it's a wonder to behold, you know, like it's between her and some of the other like hillbillies, because essentially Mark, aka Marquis, which the weirdest name for, and this is definitely some black executive fan fiction, it's just the horror genre, but his name is Marquis T. Woods is the name of the main character. Eventually they just start calling him Mark. Seeing her commitment to the bit, you know what I mean, or just every scene is just like, oh, I ain't seen that in the Coon's age, and you know, just all these southerns, why don't you go and check back up on yonder and maybe we'll see something commencing. it's like she didn't have to do that, but she did, and I love that. And she's in the movie a lot, and she talks a lot, so I think that is one of the positives. It's short. I mean, I'm talking like an hour and 30 minutes movie. Y'all know I love me a good hour and a half movie. So especially in a horror movie, because horror movies basically don't have to make sense, unlike certain movie genres are just like, yeah, we ain't gonna make sense on this one. So if you're not gonna make sense, don't confuse me for 2.5 hours. Go ahead and give me 30 minutes, cut it down, you know. Another thing I liked was the overall plot, and what I mean by that is the general idea. I think on some specifics they get kind of lost in the weeds and they skip over some things that probably are important, but as a general plot, okay, this idea of there's an Appalachian cult of black people, which immediately several things in that sentence that I'm just like, huh? But there's like a which it seems like just a great excuse to make a movie with only black people in it. So hey, you had me a hello. I'm not about to, I don't think there's a white person in this movie after they get out of the city. So at any rate, it's like a cult of black people, and they basically kidnap people and they take their body parts and do spells on the people, and then they can switch the body parts out with them, and they've been able to do this and live forever. So everyone in this little community, you know, it's like, okay, somebody loses their eyes, they can do some rituals and give you eyes, you can now see, but you got goat's eyes. Or, you know, I think at one point they showed that they cut off a man's penis, so somebody wanted a bigger dick, or their penis stopped working, I don't know, because they get old, and then you just switch out the parts. And it seems like they were doing all this for Amari Hardwick's heart for some reason. So, you know, that kind of, the overall idea of it, I liked. You know, I think it's kind of similar to Get Out, which, you know, maybe this idea came out before Get Out, maybe it didn't. Maybe they just saw Get Out got greenlit and they said, ooh, what about Black Get Out? We'll call it Get In, or Stay Here. I don't know. Gone over there. So they end up with this, this where, like I said, they have this plot that I think in the broad strokes I enjoyed. Another thing I liked, the special effects are pretty good. You know, it's horror, so you know, you got some really gross special effects a couple times. Like one time there's he discovers about, I don't know, 45 minutes into the film, because you know, his plane, he cracked. So basically he's told his father died. His father is from the Appalachian Mountains, Appalachia, and people are like, they got black people up there? And so he's like, I gotta go see my father because he died. And we find out through the movie that his father was like abusive and stuff when he was a kid, and of course that means that Amari Hardwick's character, Marquis, grew up, and he's kind of like, they play with it but they don't really come out and say it, but he's kind of like a respectability coon type nigga, but they don't really go all the way with it. Like, it's just a couple things. Like, the son says nigga at one point and the mom corrects him, like, we don't say that word. Another point, they basically talk about how he's from Appalachia, but he think he better than everybody. They keep bringing that up, to which I'm like, he kind of is. What the fuck, y'all niggas are a cult? Like, it's not like you better than us because you not from, because you went to the big city. It's no, you niggas are a cult from 1810. Y'all been killing, like, how dare you look down on us, you uppity nigga. I was like, what are you even mad about? You're gonna kill him. But they have a point, you know, every horror movie has this, where they like stop the plane for gas. Apparently, I don't know shit about planes, so apparently it's just like plane gas stations. You can just be like, oh, let me just pull up here. And they pull up at the gas station, and they have this foreboding like moment where like he tells people where he's going, and everybody's like, oh, you going up there? Oh, that's gonna be dangerous, don't do that. And then it has a couple comedic moments too, which also work for me, which kind of funny. You know, he goes in the gas station, the guy has some backwoods country like hoodoo shit up in there, like, you might want to get you one of these bags to protect you. He's like, what? No. Oh, excuse me, sorry everyone. Oh man. But he's like, get one of these bags here, it's gonna protect you. And he's like, I don't want no voodoo bag. And then he's like, where's the bathroom? He's like, out back. He's like, what, an outhouse with a moon on the door? And yes, it's an outhouse with a moon on the door. So there's this is the country, this is the backwoods, you know. And yet at the same time, it's only black people. His son has like another funny interaction where he doesn't trust this kid that he sees with a fishing pole, and they get into it because it's like country versus city, and they're arguing kind of, or just kind of being passive aggressive with each other. And that's a pretty cool joke. But the humor kind of worked too, because it was kind of funny. But like I said, then they fly the plane, and we get good special effects essentially with the plane. They don't show you the whole crash, but the plane, it gets a storm hits, they crash the plane, all of them get split apart, because we don't, you know, like Amari Hardwick's character wakes up and he's like in Loretta Devine's house on a bed, his foot is wrapped up, and he's just like completely hobbled and disoriented, and they won't tell him where his family is. And you know, they just basically go, we didn't find him, we don't know where your family went, you know, but you need to heal up, and no, we don't have a phone, and no, you can't talk to anyone, and no, you can't leave the house, you know, that kind of misery type shit. But when I was talking about things at work, the special effects, one gross special effect they have is he discovers 45 minutes in, at the hobbling around the house on the roof and all this shit, that his foot, that he hasn't really looked at, he just knows it's hurting, he unwraps it, and they have stuck a like what had to be 6 to 8 inch spike in the heel of his foot, like on some slavery shit, like this how we keep slaves from running away type shit. And it, of course, once he sees it, he has to pull it out, and you see how long it is and gross it is. And now, I mean, it may have been 10 inches. It was so ridiculous how long it was. And that's, if that's not gross and just disturbing enough, because in true movie sense, as soon as he gets it out of his leg, he's basically able to like walk better, which I'm like, that's not how that would work at all. That's like you get stabbed in a movie, you pull it out, and you're immediately like, okay, I'm better. It's like, that's not how stabs work. But yeah, so he walks around on it, and he's fine, or not fine, but he's better. And then he gets back to his room, and he hears them saying like, oh, it's time to go check on his dress and make sure he's still, you know, up there, with essentially trying to make sure he's still hobbled. So once he hears this, he's like, should I fucking fight him off with the spike? And he realizes that shit ain't gonna work, and he's like, okay, I'm gotta put the spike back in my leg. And oh my god, that, like I said, it was so gross, so gory, and that definitely worked in the movie. Let me think, what else worked? I mean Amari Hardwick did a decent job. Yeah, I want to say that's about it for things that worked for me. Let's get to not worked. So the plot, like I said, because it's an hour and a half, and I prefer this to them stretching out a movie that didn't have an hour and a half worth of content, but it's so simple and convenient, and it definitely falls into the horror movie, like, we're not gonna explain all this shit to you, you know what I mean? Like at some point he just looks into like finding her, because everyone has a boogity, these voodoo dolls that you can manipulate the doll and it controls the person, and it's how they switch out people's organs, it's how they, like, she uses it to tie them up at one point when the sheriff comes out there and all this type of shit. So the boogities, he like stumbles across her boogity at some point. They say they don't have any phones up there, but then they leave his son's phone on silent, sitting in a box, and he can hear it from upstairs, and he eventually finds it, which is like, if you're kidnapped, like, it's like these people might be backwoods, but they shouldn't be fucking stupid, you know what I mean? Like, that's just dumb. And so there's stuff like that, you know. There's at the end it gets so sloppy where like he finds his family, his son, I forgot to mention as a positive in the gore part, there's a part where he eats some food she gives him and basically discovers that it's his son's hand, and that the soup is made of his son's hand, and I don't know if it's part of the spell or what, but that was super gross and disturbing. And like, his son has a tattoo that says 30 on his hand, and then like he throws up and a piece of the hand with the part with 30 on it comes out of his mouth and he picks it up and looks at it, and then like Loretta Devine comes back in and she doesn't even notice it, like he's like this motherfucker just, and he plays it quote unquote cool, but man, you just ate your son's hand possibly. But anyway, so like at the end he saves his family essentially through like a pretty cool trick, I will give him that. It was like she has some powder that like knocks you out and another powder that wakes you up, and so at some point in the movie he sneaks down to the basement or to the barn where they do their rituals, and he switches the powders, and so because he switches the powders he's able to make it so that it looks like he's knocked out but really he's not, and then he like saves the day and saves his family and all this shit. It gets so ridiculous, there's no logistical sense to the ending. Like the sheriff, who's part of the cult somehow, or he's cool with the cult, the guy he steals the sheriff's car somehow, and I'm like, how? On this, like, we see the sheriff drive away before the fucking ritual starts, and then they go through the ritual, he fucking escapes, saves his family, leaves, and then like gets the sheriff's car by like ambushing him on the road somehow, which it made no sense, like how would that happen, and then brings the car back for his family, goes and has the major confrontation with the villain and the townspeople in the cult, and then burns the barn and Loretta Devine inside, and then you see like off to the side the murderous townspeople, like to their, like in the background maybe like 25 feet away is his family, and I'm like, none of them was gonna fuck with your family, everybody was cool. Like, so it's just little stuff like that where you just like, you gotta really suspend a lot of disbelief, which I guess is fair for a movie that's expecting you to believe you can be in an Appalachian all black cult transferring out organs for 300 years or whatever the fuck, so I guess that makes sense. But I didn't feel like there were strong performances from anyone else on the cast, except for maybe I would say the dude to play Earl, John Beasley, was a standout. And then, you know, I guess a little bit of Mari Hardwick, he had to do some heavy lifting here, but in general it felt like one of those movies where like me and my friends been having this idea for a movie for 10 years and now I finally got the green light because Get Out got green lit. It does feel very derivative of Green Light, I mean of Get Out, and by that I mean like it's even to the point where like they have a dude that's like a bald headed strong man black dude who never says a word but does the heavy enforcing of like, you know, like I'm gonna be the one to kick in the door, I'm gonna physically assault you and stuff like that. So even that's kind of like Get Out, right? Yeah. And then was there anything else? Yeah, I mean, I guess that's really all I truly disliked. I mean, because it wasn't like it wasn't like they tried to do too much with this movie. So it was pretty straightforward. All right, let's go ahead and rate it from 0 to 5. I would give this movie probably a 2 out of 5. You know, and I'm giving it like an extra point for being short and not taking itself too seriously, so that, you know, I think when you look at something like Us and Get Out that really, really, really wants you to think, dissect this. We have thought about this. We want you to look at it from 3 different angles. We want you to have theories and guesses and about this shit. This was much more straightforward, and the only guesswork I felt like I was doing was because they were lazy, where they were like, listen, they'll just have to figure out that this is what's happening. And it kind of combined a whole lot of tropes that you see in other movies and like Misery and all this stuff, and Get Out and Us and stuff. And I wonder if the tropes were just basically like, since it's a trope, do we really got to explain, you know? like you guys know what this means, right? You've seen Misery. Like that's what the movie, it should have been called Blizzery, okay? It was Black Misery. So yeah, I would give it a 2 out of 5. Hope you enjoyed this review if you saw the movie. And if you didn't see it, you know, I still hope you enjoyed the review, although you probably like, what the hell is Rod talking about? What the fuck was this crazy ass movie about? It definitely was cuckoo bananas, to borrow a phrase from medium popcorn. But yeah, 2 out of 5, you know, if it's on HBO or Showtime or so, you know, Netflix or something like that, you just want to see a black horror movie. I think black people should be able to make mediocre horror movies and stuff. And honestly, if you're a fan of the horror genre, it may even be one of those things where you're like, oh no, this is kind of right up my alley. I like horror movies in general, and you know me, I'm not a huge horror fan, so that could be affecting this review as well. All right, y'all, I hope y'all enjoyed this review, and I should be back soon, either with Karen or with Justin, for another movie review. Thanks for listening. Peace.